You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
Next, we're talking about truth, lies, and bullshit. And I can't think of a better person to speak to about this than Jacques Rousseau. How's it, Jacques?
Morning, Eusebius.
Long time.
Yeah, indeed.
Where have you been? You don't write, you don't DM.
Yeah.
You don't write angry letters to the editors?
No, I'm trying to calm down in my old age.
It's wonderful having you back on the show. And as always, we try and make the circle bigger when it comes to critical thinking, discourse. And that was not me swearing. That was the title, a reference to the title of a philosophical essay on bullshit by a philosopher that we will talk to you about in a second. Now, the reason we're talking about this is I promised you at 9 o'clock is that it connects with one of the really awesome moments of the Obama speech yesterday. Have a listen to what Obama said, Izolo.
Of objective truth. People just make stuff up. They just make stuff up. We see it in the growth of state-sponsored propaganda. We see it in internet-driven fabrications. We see it in the blurring of lines between news and entertainment. We see the utter loss of shame among political leaders where they're caught in a lie and they just double down and they lie some more. Let me say, politicians have always lied. But it used to be if you caught them lying, they'd be like, oh, man. Now they just keep on lying. They just... I mean, this is, by the way, this is what I think Mama Grashevich was talking about in terms of maybe some sense of humility that Madiba felt. Like, sometimes just basic stuff, me just not completely lying to people, I think it's pretty basic. I don't think myself a great leader just because I don't just completely make stuff up.
That was pretty hilarious. Obama the comedian. But as funny as that was, there's some deep truths in there, Jacques, isn't there? Because you and I and many philosophers around the world keep writing about some of the issues coming out of that clip. I mean, we live in an era where indeed news and entertainment is morphed together, but also there's so much lying in an era of fake news as well. How important is it for us to really slow down and appreciate some of the issues there as we're about to do?
Well, I think it's crucial. I mean, we can only speculate as to who Obama might have been speaking
Go
about.
On.
I think it's crucial for two reasons to pay attention to these distinctions. One, because this kind of age of social media and hot takes and such is, I think, just producing such a flurry of content that it's becoming more and more difficult to do that, slowing down and careful consideration. And B, because it seems like there's almost been a step change in how much it's proliferating out there in the world. So the key distinction that I think we want to talk about here is that the step change is between liars, which we've always had. I mean, especially in politics. And somebody was saying to me earlier on today that we shouldn't forget that Obama himself is the liar in chief. And whether that's true or not is not relevant to the discussion we're having this morning, because a liar at least is aware of what the truth is and is capable of being caught out in a lie. The bullshitter is somebody who, as Obama was saying, who keeps on ramping up the obfuscation, not in an attempt to tell you untruths, but to present a picture of the world where the truth no longer matters. It's only about the rhetoric. It's only about creating a certain perception of the world and the power dynamics and so on.
I love that. Tell us a little bit about a philosopher who made this distinction famous and what he meant.
So this is Harry Frankfurt, who was at Princeton when he wrote this. I've actually just published a little summary of the paper on my website, so if you want to read a bit more and not read the whole thing. So what Harry Frankfurt was trying to say, and it's a 20-page essay, is that the liar is trying to lead us away from a truthful conception of reality. And he might or she might do so on a selective basis, hide certain details from you. Or they might tell you lies like that they're WMDs that have been found in Iraq or whatever. So we're familiar with some of those examples. The bullshitter is trying to hide the fact that truth value itself doesn't matter to them. Okay, so another way of thinking about this is that people who lie and people who tell the truth are essentially playing the same games. I mean, they're still responsive to the same set of rules. They can still be caught out and corrected and so forth. The bullshitter does not only so much reject the authority of the truth so much as not pay any attention to it whatsoever. It's really only about selling your brand or selling your product or creating the impression of a witch hunt or collusion or not the absence of collusion. So here's an example. The way in which President Trump keeps on conflating collusion and hacking would be a great example of bullshit. Because he keeps on connecting those two things so that the less critical members of his base, if there's any kind of slowdown or roadblock in the collusion investigation of Mueller, they would then perceive that as also relevant to the entirely separate hacking issue.
Yes.
So he's created this big cloud of obfuscation around those two things so that the public mind connects them without being able to make the distinction.
No, I don't know.
And he'll just say whatever it takes.
That's right, which leads me then to ask whether Frankfurt discussed, I can't remember whether it does in this paper, and maybe it's a little bit of a macabre question, who is worse for society or whether there's degrees? Because in my mind, I always think of the person who is a bullshitter as opposed to a liar as having an additional quality as well, the bullshitter that is, that they are shameless. And one of the things I find fascinating about Donald Trump is that when you show the guy the facts, like you play him a clip and you say, but this is what you told the Sun, or this is what you said at a presser in Helsinki or wherever, he just doesn't care, because at least the person who is a liar is potentially shameable because they recognize the value of truth-telling and they hope pretty pleased to never ever be busted for lying. So they have a sense of shame because they know that truth matters in society. A Donald Trump character, he seems to me like the gold standard of bullshitting, because it doesn't matter how much counter evidence, how much objective facts, to use Obama's language, you give the guy, it's going to mean nothing to him because he doesn't even value truth enough to be ashamed.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that President Trump is capable of shame, we haven't found any evidence for that yet. But so to respond to your question directly, and then perhaps an example is yes, Frankfurt does argue that bullshitters are worse than liars, and for the reason that you say, really, because the liar can be corrected, can feel shame, can be persuaded to, in a sense, come back to the kind of epistemic straight and narrow. But the other reason that bullshit is a greater enemy to the truth than lies are is because once you untether what you're saying from independently verifiable data, there are now zero constraints on what you can say.
That's right.
You don't need to respond to any facts. You also don't need to respond to any contextual facts about the situation.
Yeah, that's so absolutely right. Okay,
And I also think that you get this epistemic arms race, in a sense, because you might need more and more bullshit to support the previous layers.
That's
of bullshit,
so true.
Right? So it becomes this,
Give us a call if you have any questions, but also if the penny has dropped for you, we know that a lying politician is bad. A bullshitting politician is even worse. It's a wonderful little distinction. It's a real distinction. Liars are bad enough. A bullshitter is a danger to world peace. If you think about the South African context, is there anyone that you would regard as not just being a liar, but actually a bullshitter on this distinction between lying and bullshitting? 011-883-0702. Have your best shot with examples and evidence, of course. And in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Now, Trump is a great example of someone who is not only a liar, which would have been bad on its own, but also a bullshitter. Here's the latest example of Donald Trump bullshitting us and not just lying. Listen to this clip.
I came back and I said, what is going on? What's the big deal? So I got a transcript. I reviewed it. I actually went out and reviewed a clip of an answer that I gave. And I realized that there is a need for some clarification It should have been obvious. I thought it would be obvious, but I would like to clarify just in case it wasn't. In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia. So just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. And the sentence should have been, and I thought it would be maybe a little bit unclear on the transcript or unclear on the actual video. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. Sort of a double negative. So you can put that in, and I think that probably clarifies things pretty good by itself.
My goodness, now if someone wrote up Donald Trump as a character in a script for a comedy, I think many people wouldn't fund it on account that the character is just not sufficiently believable, even as a liar. And that's because he's not a liar, he's actually a bullshitter. We'll take a break. We'll have more conversation with Jacques on this point. Coquettes, I'm also going to take your call on the other side of this.
Eusebius McKaiser on your number one news and talk station.
10 minutes before noon, and we are talking about truth-telling, lying, and bullshitting based on a philosophical paper that has that word in its title. So don't get too upset. We're quoting here from literature. Coquette, so good morning.
Morning.
Okay, your line's not great there. I'm going to come back to you presently. Here's a wonderful tweet from a prof from Fort Hare, Gina Murindi, who says, Eusebius and Jacques, I meet bullshitters all the time, outside of politics as well, by the way. In fact, at academic conferences, oh, setting the cat among the academic pigeons, men and women, says Prof, with esteemed titles, leaving a trail of mess as they do what they do best. Yeah, I mean, any area of life is open to this. Politicians and Donald Trump are the easiest example, but that distinction is one that can hold in any area of life. Kahi, so good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Well, go ahead.
You know, I'd like to say the whole government as a whole is bullshitting us. Because basically, yesterday on Checkpoint, we saw that there was a community in Mpumalanga, Mangweni, that was complaining about water, not having water and all of that. So the government sends out someone to go and do research and find out what the main problem is and what these people are complaining about. But what they did is they sent a white person to go and do research. And I don't know how they expect a white person to have effective communication with those people from rural areas. So those people don't have anyone representing them because they're not educated. So what happens is the person goes there and does research, and then whatever it is that the person wants the people to say, it's exactly what they want to say.
Kaki, so you know what? This is such a beautiful call because you are not bullshitting us, but you are lying. Firstly, it happened in the Eastern Cape. Secondly, it wasn't a government official. It was a lawyer from the Legal Resources Center. So this is a legal activist that was putting pressure on the municipality for the taps running dry. So, but I don't think that your errors were in the same WhatsApp group as the ones committed by Donald Trump. But what it does give us an opportunity to talk about for a minute or two before taking another call, Jacques, is of course that it is also very important for us to self-examine. Yesterday, someone was gushing about Obama, or 2 days ago on my show. I then gave them the facts from Professor Adebajo about some of the things Obama did compared to Trump in terms of how often, for example, he authorized drone strikes to happen. And it was like the facts were just washing over that particular person. And it's amazing how even on radio debates, on Twitter and Facebook, letters pages, it is amazing while we were all applauding Obama for critiquing politicians who don't like facts and undermine democracy, we forget that many of us have become averse to taking facts seriously as well.
Yes, certainly, and it's always, or it's usually in service of some sort of preferred ideological position that we have, or political position that we have, and we're always less likely to see flaws in our particular heroes, whoever they might be. So, yes, we need to guard against this perhaps most carefully in ourselves, and be aware of the fact that we are as prone to this as everybody else. But the difference is that you can take an Obama or a Clinton or whatever and have whatever disagreements you like about their projects and about their policies and politics and so forth, and they might have done very evil things even by your lights, but they're still playing a very different epistemic game to Trump in the sense we discussed earlier on, that you can still correct them. But yes, we need to be particularly careful when it comes to fooling ourselves.
Yes. Here's a lovely tweet This makes me want to be a philosophy student again, because it would be interesting to puzzle through some of these very precise examples that everyone's coming up with, Jacques. Bumlani Khulu tweets, Tulas Ngesi's briefing to the country about the fire pole, Eusebius. Isn't that a wonderful example of bullshitting of the highest order? Well, I wonder whether Jacques will agree with me. I don't think so. And I would venture to say that he was only being a liar. And I think the reason I would motivate for that, just off the top of my head, is the way he was sweating profusely. He recognizes the value of truth. He was ashamed at the fact that he was obviously deliberately lying. And that's a very different relationship with facts than a genuine bullshitter. Jacques, would you agree?
I'd agree, certainly I'd agree, but I would say that you can find bullshit in that whole narrative, of course, and
yes.
I mean, the whole Stalingrad defense of Zuma, and there was a whole lot of bullshit there, but in that particular example, I think he was just a liar, yeah.
Oh, love it. Bongani, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yes, yes. The majority of the guys in the government, more especially the former president, was bullshitting us. Even
why do you say that? Now, don't just use the word because it's a nice word to rile people up. We've now given you like a real definition of it. Do you think a lot of them just lie? Why do you say they are also like bullshitting? Do they not care about the truth at all?
They don't care about the truth. You can look at the scandal of Inkanda. They were there defending the thief. Even the thief bring back the money. Why they were denying they didn't steal the money?
Yeah, and I guess that's what Jacques means by the entire narrative around some of this stuff. But it is important, before we take our final call very quickly, Jacques, to also point out that the colloquial meaning, the everyday use of the word bullshitting, is not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about the use of the word around the braai.
No, not at all. And I think one thing I might be able to say to make this slightly more clear for listeners is that bullshit can be true in the sense that we're talking about it here.
Yes.
So you can end up saying something, you can say something which ends up being true, but the point is that it's defined by the process by which you generate it and your intentions, and by disregard for the truth, whether or not it ends up being true or not.
Yes, and its function.
Yes, its function. So most of our hot takes, for example, in the media and on in these publications, often end up being bullshit too, including a lot of things that are anti-Trump, because people are just caring about the rhetorical purpose of creating a narrative of Donald Trump.
That's right. Coquetso, be out of character for me and restrict yourself to 10 seconds.
Yes. My point was just to say that the problem that we're experiencing is also corporatization of media. So as a result, you can end up having SAPs in the sense that it's omission of truth. So, for instance, particularly when you watch CNN, BBC, and Sky, it's only the same type of narrative. And they leave with a very critical
Beautiful point. Can you, in 30 seconds max, just engage Coquette on her question, which would apply both to lying and to bullshitting? Can omissions also be examples of either? Yeah, that's for you, Jacques, just to wrap us there.
Okay. Omissions can certainly be an example of lying, but I don't think they can be an example of bullshitting, because an omission implies that you are aware of what the truth is
and you are hiding it. That makes true. Yeah, that's so true. Listen, love having you on the show as always. We must make it more frequent. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Sirius.
That's Jacques Rousseau, who is a lecturer in critical thinking at the University of Cape Town. And I hope you are all now set. There is a braai definition of bullshitting, and then there is one that is very useful to distinguish people like Tulas Ngesi, who are liars but not bullshitters, from people like Donald Trump, who are both liars and bullshitters.